Welcome to the Self Storage Insight Podcast. I'm Ben Shirey, and today I'm joined by Stephen Skinner. Stephen is with In-N-Out Self Storage, and today he's going to join us to talk about how he converted his facility from an agricultural building into self storage units. And so super excited to hear your story, Stephen, and how you got started in the business. So if you don't mind, do you want to start off maybe by giving our audience just a brief background on how you got started in self storage?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. Thanks for having me. So getting into storage was kind of an offset of being involved in commercial real estate. And that kind of happened as an offset of owning a pharmacy. So I graduated from pharmacy school and opened a pharmacy in our town. And with that, we had some extra land. And after a couple of years, we ended up, building some extra buildings and kind of fell into real estate. And as I kind of got into real estate and I started kind of learning more about it and things, I started enjoying it a lot and started doing more and more, and ended up been in real estate for over almost 25 years now. And, and have done everything from like some small strip centers to some dollar stores to tunnel car washes. I'm kind of a serial entrepreneur. So I kind of done a few different things. And I'm also I call myself kind of a voracious learner. I love podcasts, I love books. And I guess it was around, 2007, 2008, I listened to a podcast with Scott Myers, and he was talking about storage, and it tweaked my interest. And we actually bought a piece of property, a 10-acre piece of property on a corner of an intersection in, I think, about 2008. And we were going to develop it, half of it as like a medical office kind of complex and half of it as self-storage. Then the recession, the Great Recession hit.
Right.
And it kind of scared us. We just kind of sat there on it and really didn't do a lot. And after a few years, we had it financed and kind of got tired of making payments on vacant land. So we really kind of dropped it. Mm-hmm. And then about 2014, a guy in our town who is a contractor, and he does also some real estate developing, he called me and he said, "Hey, I got this building here that I was kind of thinking about doing some self-storage in, but I don't think I really want to do it. Do you want to take a look at it?" So I was like, yeah, I'm one of those people that I'm always going to take a look at anything.
Just in case there's some value there, right?
Just to see what the opportunity is. So we took a look at it. It was a rundown, 7 acres right in the heart of our downtown. It used to be like a lot of small towns. We're in Alabama, like a lot of small towns in the South or a rural area that were once really small, and then the town starts growing around it. That's kind of what had happened with this area. At one time it was kind of out, and it was the agricultural supply store is what it was. So it had two 20,000 square foot warehouses on this property. They were built in the late 70s, early 80s, and they were they were run down, neglected, and the whole property had been neglected. Nothing had been done with it for several years, and it was just an eyesore in our town. And one thing led to another, and it made sense. So it really liked the opportunity to do a conversion. And that was a great way for us to start, because we started with that one building. And then we kind of just phased over time and just grew over the year.
So as far as that facility sits today, just to kind of bring us up to today now, how many units do you have on that piece of property? How many buildings?
We now have 720 units, and we have 10 buildings, 100,000 plus square feet is what we've grown into.
Yeah, so that's a nice size facility for.
Yeah, it's about 60% climate, about 40% non-climate.
So now has the the market around you as far as the small town growing? Is the population continuing to grow there where you're at? Has that helped at all with the growth of the facility, or have not really played a part yet?
Oh yeah, it really did. Yeah. We have a beautiful lake in our town, and it's actually gets always named as one of the top two or three cleanest lakes in the United States. And so literally we've had people from all over the country move here. And, we'll ask them like, well, how'd you find us? I kind of moved to the lake. How'd you find the lake? I Googled clean lake in the South. Literally, that's right. People like some people that have retired and things like that. And so, yeah, we benefited a lot from the growth of our town, for sure.
With that facility there, then, in the lake close by, do you do any boat storage as well, or boat or RV, or just the traditional and climate controlled units?
We do have, about 20, covered spaces for boat and RV, but, that has been in demand. We're still a decent amount. We're probably 25, 30 minutes from this lake. So we've had some open up in the year since we've been open that, they're closer to the lake.
Right.
As well.
Okay. So as far as kind of going back to then when you got started with converting the first building over that you built, how did you decide to go with climate control versus, different options with the first building? As far as, did the existing building, I'm sure, played a big part in that?
Yeah, it did. And of course, the feasibility study. And that's, that's one thing I strongly recommend anybody do that's going to invest a significant amount of money into a storage development or even buying a storage facility. Always say it's worth a few thousand dollars to avoid a $500,000 mistake or whatever,
right. For sure.
And we've done a couple of feasibility studies, as far as expanding maybe into another location, another town that weren't a go. And, so our feasibility study really showed us, and we kind of had an idea, just from we were this was a situation where we were in the town, we've been here, this is my father and I, and we've both been operating businesses in the town, and so we knew the town well and knew what was around it already, but we did still want the expert, and the expert telling us that there's clearly a demand for climate storage. So that's kind of where we went with it.
And then through
the phasing, kind of seeing what the demand was as we kind of went along, we kind of saw more of a need for the climate as we went.
Right. So yeah, if you don't mind talking about the phasing a little bit, I know you reference it in your book as far as what you did each year, as far as growth and stuff. How did you plan that out? Were you planning on originally taking, five different phases, however many it ended up being? I don't remember exactly if it was five, but using the data that you got back from each phase to kind of prepare for the next phase, or how did you kind of plan for that?
Yeah, that's exactly what we did. We started with the one 20,000 square foot building, had a little over 100 units in there. And once we kind of reached about 75%, every time we'd reach about 70-75% occupancy or something like that, we would start working on the next phase.
Okay.
And so our first phase was the climate building. Our second phase was the next climate building, because that first phase, it leased up pretty quickly. This was in 2015, We did some things like we knew one of our things when we opened up is we kind of saw our competition, and we saw that, they didn't really have much of an online presence. It was really kind of that old school. It's difficult to rent, difficult to pay. So our whole process was, hey, we're going to make it easy for people to rent and pay. And it worked. Right. We had a kiosk, we had a website, we had a call center, all these things from the get-go. We were kind of early adopters of a lot of the technology that's out there, and it paid off for us. And so we leased up very quickly, did the other building, and our feasibility study actually said that we would, I think that we would need to do some non-climate as well, that there was a demand. Mm-hmm. So we knew we were going to do that. And so we, you know, started adding some non-climate as we went. We personally liked the climate better.
Okay.
Because it tended to attract a kind of a more higher end customer. And mm-hmm. we kind of also set ourselves up from the get go as trying to be like I don't want to say like the Ritz Carlton, but we wanted to be like the premier, the classy, mm-hmm. you know, clean, secure place. And with that, we were always more, you know, our rates were higher than anyone else.
Right.
And so, but we were wanting to attract that kind of tenant because it worked.
Less problems.
Yeah, less problems. You get the American Express on auto pay and
right.
And so it, you know, it kind of paid off that way. So
absolutely. And I really liked some of the things that you brought out in your book that kind of, I mean, you know, allude to that of like going after, you know, a better clientele or, you know, a higher end client base for lack of a better term, was like, you know, putting welcome packages inside the units.
Yeah.
And you had referenced it as part of your mission, you know, as far as, you know, but doing that sort of thing, the background music when people are moving in and out. So like the little touches that you can do to a facility that a lot of people don't probably even put a lot of consideration into, they can really set you apart because, you know, a lot of the competition isn't doing a whole lot to that end as far as trying to make it a better customer experience. They just, hey, they have the ability to store your stuff and that's all they're offering. So yeah, I really like some of that. Honestly, the one thing that I liked was you referenced bringing in the police to do dog training and canine training.
And putting
signage up. And I was like, man, that's such a good idea too, because you probably need to bring them in one time and you can leave those signs up forever.
Exactly. And actually you received that tip at a conference, and I can't remember I can't remember what seminar or conference, but I'm a big believer in, you know, attending conferences and seminars. Right. That's what you learn. You get one tip like that and it pays for your whole mm-hmm. investment in the trip.
Yeah.
And that was one of them that I got, you know, somebody had said that. So we did it. And I remember specifically, we had been there maybe 6 months or something. And this guy walks in and he's ready. He's ready to rent. I think like a 10x5 unit.
Okay.
And we kind of take him back, show it to him. And then we circle back around to the lobby and he looks up and he sees that sign. And he's like, I think I'll get back with you. And I knew right then what his intentions were. And
that's awesome.
He was gone. And I was, you know, you hate to lose, you know, anyway.
You do, but you don't. I mean, you
exactly.
The couple months rent that you might have got out of it saved you a lot of headaches.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
That's awesome. So if you don't mind, then let's talk about as you went into the standard units or the more the traditional non-climate units, talk about how did you come up with how you were going to build your sizes and maybe some of the information that you got there that kind of helped you determine what sizes of units to build with your conversion.
Yeah, it's a cool story with that. You know, we didn't have a clue what we were doing starting out. And actually met, I think it was at the Alabama Self Storage Association. I met a guy who was a representative for a building supplier, and he kind of helped us with our first initial layout because we didn't really have a clue. And it was a good mix. It worked, but when we got ready to do our non-climate buildings, we actually went to a neighboring town about an hour away to get a golf cart. Because the property being spread out, and my father, mm-hmm. he was in his 80s, he has rheumatoid arthritis, so he can't, right. He's not very mobile. Plus we knew that we had seen enough from operating that there's a certain percentage of the population that they don't really know what size unit they need. And so they want to see the unit. And so there's a lot of kind of show and tell, involved that we were experiencing, you know,
okay.
I don't really know what size. Can you show them to me? And that was our chance for us also to kind of sell them on the facility. Mm-hmm. So, you know, point out the security cameras, the music, you know, things like that.
Right.
So we were going to get a golf cart because we knew we were going to have to take people to the other building or look around. And it just so happened the place that we were going to look at the golf cart, we drove up and there's a big self-storage facility behind it. We didn't know. And so we started talking to the guy, and he's a golf cart dealer. He, you know, several different things. We also had the self storage, and we just got to talking about it. We're like, oh, well, this is for, you know, our self storage facility. And he had been in the business already, you know, like 20 years. I mean, early into it. And he said, let me give you all a little bit of advice. And we said, what was that? And he said, don't build anything less than a 10 by 10 on your non-climate units. And we're like, really? And he said, yeah. He said, because we have found that the smaller units on non-climate in our area at the time, rural Alabama,
right,
typically is going to be less than like $50 a month. And he said, those are going to be your problem tenants. Those are people that they have been evicted from their apartment. They lost their job. They can't keep a job. They can't even afford the $50. But they're throwing their stuff in there thinking they can afford it, and they're not going to afford it. You're going to end up having to auction their stuff in a couple of months anyway. And we took his advice and kind of ran with it. So we just stuck with like 10 by 10s, 10 by 15s, and 10 by 20s. Just kept it simple.
Right.
And it
so let me, yeah. Let me ask you a question. And this just kind of came up from that thought of like the $50 unit, right? Do you run in like you offer move-in specials and stuff online, correct? As far as, you know, giving a discount at the front side of a lease. Do you ever notice that you get more delinquencies and things coming off of months 2 and 3 from those move-in specials? Or have you not really had any relatable information on that as far as if that leads to higher delinquency rates
for
tenants?
Yeah, there's always a percentage of people, you know, you see it every year. We've been in it almost 10 years now. So you see a certain amount of people that they rent that first time and then they never make another payment again. You know, they literally came and, but we have always avoided the like dollar move in or the first month free.
Right.
Because there again, listening to people's advice, and I believe it because we had it happen to us one time as well, where somebody rented a unit and filled it up with used tires. You know, so there's a lot of people out there that kind of get, wait a minute, okay, I could go to the dump 30 miles away and have to pay this, or I can take this little special and I can
load it up and leave.
Let it be their problem. So we've kind of stayed away from those really, really aggressive specials. We'll do like maybe, you know, 50% off or something like that with that.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen people getting even more creative with it as of recently. You know, they're offering the third month free or something where, you know, they're requiring payments up front for a couple of months and then they throw it in. So, I was just curious as far as how much that first month turns into delinquency in the second month if you're offering move-in specials and if you track that at all. So, awesome. So if you don't mind it, could you talk to us a little bit about how you do your pricing? I know in self-storage, a lot of people that I talk to, probably like 90% of the companies that I work with within our company, CC Storage, with property management software, they all do prorating. So a lot of people like to get all of their money on the first of the month. They don't like to track money down throughout the month.
But
you talked about doing anniversary billing. Could you kind of just allude a little bit more into why you do it that way and kind of some of the benefits you have from it?
Yeah, really, it became a traffic issue for us. So we saw it once we kind of with our last expansion. So we were sitting around 500 units or so, and then our last expansion was 200 units, so about a 30,000 square foot climate building. And like so many, we're trying to maximize the amount of square footage we can get on this property. And so, you know, we're maximizing it. We're pushing our drive aisles, trying to get as much as we can in that building for our investment. And we started seeing when we added those 200 units, it just started getting kind of crazy at the end of the month. You started seeing, you know, moving trucks backed upon moving trucks or in another truck, because with, you know, self storage being month to month, there's always going to be a certain segment, you know, maybe 5% turnover. And when you get to 700 units, 5%, that's 30 to 40 units a month. That's turning over. So that's a decent amount of traffic there.
Yeah.
And And so we saw when we started seeing all that, we got kind of thinking about it. And I think that first of the month has come from there again, the old school mentality of, well, yeah, I'm going to do the first of the month so I can keep up with everything. Cause I know, like, okay, on the whatever my date is, this day is the day I'm going to, the late fee is going to hit. This day is the day we're going to, a day, whatever, we're going to send out the lien notices and stuff. Well, now with automation, it's really not as big of an issue because when you use automated collection software and you use, automated lien process software, it's really not as big of a deal. So we simply did it for the to ease traffic at the facility and just kind of space things out. Now, I will say what we it's an interesting thing that we have seen since we did that, I guess, in 2021. So I guess it's been, almost 3 years now. And we still see more rentals at the end of the month and at the first of the month. And that's because I think that's how a lot of people, that's how a lot of people live. And I don't know how it is in every state, but in Alabama, school teachers are paid once a month, first of the month. There's a lot of people that that's when they're paid. And so they're going to operate on that kind of cycle. A lot of retirees and stuff, that's when they get
Social
their
Security and
pension.
all that stuff comes in.
So things like that. So I think a lot of people still operate that way a lot. And so it still stays busier, but it does help some, to go grocery. And we still always give people that option. One thing we always try to do, like the music, the layout, everything. And I think it came from our mentality of being pharmacists and owning pharmacies and having to compete with the Walgreens and the CV, the giants of retail of the world. Our only advantage was our customer service, and so I think we took that mentality to storage. And so everything we've done, we've tried to put ourselves in that person's shoes. And so I say that to say we still offer people. We ask people, okay, so today is the 27th. This is going to come to you again on the 27th of next month, unless the first of the month is better for you. And so we'll give people that option,
So they
so
can
we're
kind of
not.
self-select when they want that to,
The whole key is just working with people and listening to what they need and serving them.
Absolutely. And with a customer focus, then it seems like you get a lot better tenants, you get better retention, you get better relationships. And so when those things inevitably come up where somebody's past due, it may not be as awkward to have conversations with those people, right? Because you have a better rapport with them. So yeah,
I
for
think you're
sure.
right. I think if you're a jerk to them, then when they're at their day of move out and they're looking at that, shelf that's half broke or whatever, and they're thinking, man, I really don't have a need for this. Do I want to take this with me or just leave it to them to be their problem? If they know you and they're like, oh, they're really not, I'm not doing that to them. But if you're a jerk to them, they're like, yeah,
Yeah, absolutely.
screw them. I don't care. Anyway.
So as you were kind of building out, it again, this was referenced in the book where you talked about you had another facility that you were going to work on starting up right about an hour away. And as you were starting to develop that, you realized that you were getting stretched thin. Do you mind sharing a little bit about that? I think that that would actually relate to probably a lot of people as they're trying to figure out their workload and work-life balance, that sort of thing.
This is the thing. I say it's a God thing looking out for me, kind of protecting me from myself. I've got myself, being a driven entrepreneur, which a lot of people, in this industry are. We tend to kind of push, push, push. When's enough enough? And it came from the wisdom of my father as well. But I'm sitting here, I'm trying to develop this other facility, and it's so funny. He just looked at me one day. He's like, man, you're running crazy. And have you thought about, we're growing a lot here. Like, why do you want to kind of do another one an hour away when we can just keep expanding here while we can, while we're still experiencing the growth? Because we knew it was a matter of time before more competition was coming.
Right.
Because whenever you're successful in anything, you're going to have competition come.
Absolutely.
And that has happened. We've had a lot over in the last year. I think we had like six facilities open in our town in the last year because they saw 2020,
Right.
2021, the demand. And so they started. So we were kind of, he was kind of telling me, strike while the iron's hot, let's take advantage of this instead of trying to stretch yourself. And it was kind of one of those moments where you know what? He's right. He's so right. And it allowed me as a father of, I got out of pharmacy because the hours were so restrictive and I was never home. I missed birthday parties, had three children at home, and I was missing things. And here I was trying to put myself back in that situation where, okay, what if I had an issue up there and I'm there, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and my son's ball game's about to start at 3:30, So it's just really what's important to you. And that to me was more important than than 200 more units or whatever.
Right. And
So
so did you end up selling that facility? Did you end up selling that property, or
yeah,
was
we
it?
sold it during the development. Yeah.
Okay. And did you make out pretty well on that, as far as, or did
Yeah.
about what year did you sell it?
20, I think.
Okay.
2020. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. The early 2020.
It is crazy how much demand hit with COVID, right? And then
Yeah.
how many
Oh,
people
yeah.
decided, oh, we're going to build these facilities, like this is a gold mine. And so then now all these, 2023, all these facilities are opening up and the demand has dropped again, and
Yes.
so it's going to, it's added new challenges, but I mean, it's still an awesome industry as far as an
Yeah.
investment asset to be in. So yeah, it is just interesting how people will follow the demand and then try to make their money on it, and then it makes it more competitive, and that just keeps everything going. So
Yeah. And I think we were like everybody else when COVID hit. We were nervous, wondering what was going to happen and stuff. We felt good about our situation because I always set it up from day one to where we didn't have to be in our office. And
right.
that came from burnout as a pharmacist. Really, to be honest with you, I wish I could tell you I was that smart. But it really came from being burned out as a pharmacist and also knowing that a certain segment of people would rather just rent online or rent at a kiosk than deal with people. It's funny. You watch people and you can go to the AT&T store, you can go to any store, but and we can sit there, our office is here and our kiosk is in the little lobby there, and people will go to the kiosk and pay and not even look at us. We'll wave to them and they don't even want to wave at us. But there's certain people like that. That's what, but then there's other people that, they want to talk for a good while. But
Being able
so
to
we,
support both of those types of people is so important to
yeah,
us. Yeah.
but yeah, we had no clue that it was going to hit. I mean, we were kind of nervous, but then all of a sudden it's like a light switch and boom, boom, boom. Just, man, the demand went through the roof with
Yeah.
that. I don't know if we'll ever see that again.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it was a crazy time, that's for sure. So
Yeah.
if you don't mind me asking about one other thing then here, I don't want to run too long. I'm not sure what your schedule's like, but I could talk to you for a while. It seems like we're but you in your book, you reference a fifth D of storage. Do you care to elaborate on that a little bit and how that's impacted your facility?
Yeah, so I talked about the kind of the ministry aspects of how you can help people through self-storage. That there again, I wish we were this smart and I wish we, were this spiritual or whatever that we, knew that we were gonna be that we were gonna see these opportunities, but they just came out of just operating one. You traditionally have the four D's, which are, reasons why people need storage, which are death, divorce, disaster, and dislocation. But the fifth D that we've seen has been dependency, and it's been everything from people renting a unit because they're going into rehab, and somebody and maybe it's not even them, maybe it's a brother or a sister. or a spouse or a parent or something that is renting the unit because that person has entered a rehab facility. You know, they were in an apartment. We've seen a decent amount of that. And so, and then of course, some of the bad that goes with, you know, self-storage is not all sunshine and rainbows. There's like every industry, there's challenges, there's things you have to deal with. And so we see the dependency showing up and, you know, people trying to stay in a unit, catch them, you know, doing that. Maybe they're homeless and we try to help them out.
Right.
Through that, through some local, you know, homeless shelters or ministries and things like that. So yeah, that's just a thing that we've noticed over time that's just another aspect where people are having to get storage.
And then in those cases too, you reference that you try to negotiate with them when you realize, you know, if there's going to be an issue, to give them an option to move out on better terms, or for lack of a better term, I guess.
Yeah. When we see something, and a lot of times with that dependency comes the bad behavior that they get called in.
Right.
Or they get behind, and us being pharmacists, a lot of times we can tell, you know, the signs of someone that's having a substance abuse problem or whatever. And so we will just try to, you know, work with them to, you know, maybe they've gotten behind and we'll try to work out a deal where we can just receive a certain amount of payment. But hey, you get out by this amount of time. We're going to give you access only during business hours. And also, you know, maybe we'll make them give us an extra $50 or something as a deposit to make sure they get everything out. Because a lot of these people, I hate to say it, but you can't really trust what they're telling you. They may not be in their right mind, but they're also used to just, you know, lying their way through everything.
Right. It's always a difficult situation. Yeah.
It is. Yeah, it is. And so we'll hold that to make sure they get everything out instead of getting that one or two things that they want out and leaving us with the rest.
Right.
So
awesome. Well, yeah, thank you for sharing that too. It's always nice to hear how other people are handling issues, because, you know, nobody's alone in kind of their struggles that they face with storage, right? As far as dealing with these kinds of people. So let me ask you, maybe on a lighter note then, have you had any crazy experiences within your facility that really stand out to you, or any horror stories or anything that stand out?
Yeah, a couple I probably can't mention. But one interesting one that happened is we had a guy, a drunk driver, drive through our fence and take up, like, literally, like, drove through our fence, did donuts. This was before there was a building is in our back corner of our property. Drove through the fence, did like two or three donuts, and then drove out and took up, like, damaged like 400 feet of our fence. It was like $6,000 worth of damage.
Wow.
And the way they, so we show up like Monday morning and we're like, that's not right. And so immediately, you know, calling the police. And when I called the police to report the incident, he goes, "Yeah, we already caught the guy." And I said, "Oh, okay." And he goes, "Yeah, we caught him because his car was in a ditch down the road and one of your fence posts was through the windshield."
Now,
thank the Lord it was on the passenger side and it didn't, you know, kill him.
Wow.
But that's how they found him.
That's crazy.
So that's a pretty crazy story that, you know, you just never know, you know.
Yeah.
If you're in it long enough, you're gonna have a little of everything happen to you, from a natural disaster to somebody run into your building to somebody do something they shouldn't do in a unit, you know, different things. So it's just just part of it.
Something that's all, yeah, good story. That's awesome. So I guess if you don't mind, as we kind of wrap this up, do you mind giving us a little plug for your book, maybe, as far as I really enjoyed it. What was your inspiration maybe behind writing the book, or feeling the need to write the book?
Oh, yeah.
Growing God's Kingdom Through Self-Storage.
Yeah, this is it right here. Growing God's Kingdom Through Self-Storage. It's a short book. It came from a couple of things. I had a lot of people that where it would come in, they see our facility and they come in and they'd ask me, how did you do this? You know, I've always wanted to get into storage. How did you do this? And a lot of people are what I like to say are kind of tire kickers when it comes to something like this.
Right.
They see what you have and they want to do it, but are they really serious about it or not? And mm-hmm. So instead of me repeating the same story over and over, I thought, hey, I could do this book. And so I kind of started it that way. And then, it was just from what God's done for us through this business. We had no idea, but he's mm-hmm. blessed us tremendously from it. Before I got into this, actually, I had gone through about 5 years after I sold my pharmacy where I literally lost half of what I had sold my pharmacy for in 2012 through a couple of failed businesses. So right. That cost me a good bit. Mm-hmm. So I'm not perfect. I don't have a perfect track record. God brought us to this business and he brought us this lady who came out of a prison ministry, who's been with us the whole 10 years as our maintenance supervisor. Mm-hmm. And it's just been an incredible story. And I just wanted to kind of share that story and just share how much it's done for my father, who's now 87 and he's working there every day still. And it's kind of given him a purpose past his retirement.
Right.
He physically couldn't work anymore as a pharmacist. And just the just to give people a different, we hear so much about the financial part of self-storage, but we don't often. I see a lot of people that they're not actually putting, they're saying, okay, I got this many units and I got this amount of revenue. And if I raise the rents by this much, I can get this ROI on my investment. And we're totally looking at the numbers and we're neglecting the fact that there's people in those units.
Mm-hmm.
And those people have real stories. And a big reason why I wrote it is because I've had more than one occasion what was interesting is actually when I was writing the book, it was in kind of in December, I was in the middle of it, and a lady literally, she had rented online, and she had rented like a, literally like our smallest unit, a 5x5 unit, mm-hmm. right? And she walks in the door. I saw a moving truck go to the back, one of our back buildings, and she comes, walks in the door, and she's just bawling. I'm like, I'm sorry, can I help you? And she said, well, I rented this little unit. I didn't really know what size I needed, but it's clearly, I got movers here and I just got a divorce. I'm running from a terrible situation. And she just couldn't think straight. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see a lot, you know, and we've seen it also with people walk in like widows and where life has just thrown them a major curveball, a major tragedy that they never saw coming, that we wouldn't wish that on anybody. And we don't want that happening to us either, but right. It's life and it's happened mm-hmm. to them. And, yeah. and they can't think straight. So I wrote the book to maybe that someone somewhere else in this awesome country would read it and maybe take one or two of the ideas and do some of the same things, because there may be a lady in that town or someone in that town that just needs someone to listen to them, to love them, to offer them some kind of hope that, hey, this is bad, but there's a, you know, don't give up, you know, and just to help people out, because there again, there's people and there's stories behind those units and why they are paying for these investments. Mm-hmm. And it's more than just dollars and stuff.
Right.
It's helping people.
So. Absolutely. And you never know who God's going to bring across your path.
Exactly.
And it seems awesome to me that he put you into storage and you've been able to be a blessing to people through that. And so, yeah. Awesome. And so as far as the book availability, it's on Audible. I know that you sent me the audiobook, so people can find it on Audible, Amazon.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. Yeah. It's in print, Kindle. It's a short read. It's just a couple hours. And, you know, I knew like so many, business people and investors are busy and don't really have time for a long novel. So I just want to make sure and give people ideas. It's not like the whole guidebook of how, but it's just giving tips of like, hey, this has worked for us. And what I say early in the book, that I say the same thing about a conference. If you get one idea from it that maybe is worth your time and your investment in the book. I know I'm not doing it for the money. I'm really doing it for the mission.
It's awesome that you could share it too. Yeah. And I would say too, that a book is a lot cheaper than a conference. So
that's a good point.
But, no, awesome, Stephen. Well, hey, it's been awesome to talk to you and to kind of hear your story a little bit. If somebody wanted to reach out with questions or just to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that as far as.
They can email me. It's probably the easiest way. And it's Stephen, Stephen, at Stephen F as in Frank Skinner.com. Shoot me an email or I'm on social media, Stephen F. Skinner on like Instagram and Twitter or X or whatever you call it and stuff like that. So just kind of reach out to me there.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, thank you. I think you do a great job.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Self Storage Insight Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Just a quick reminder, this episode was brought to you by CC Storage. CC Storage is a no-cost property management software that allows you to pass the fees for credit card processing on to your tenants, freeing up some CapEx space for your business and helping you more efficiently run your storage facility. If you'd like to learn more about CC Storage, click the link in the description below. And we hope to see you again for our next episode.